Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 95th edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. This was going to be called the, oh my God, holy crap, the Raptors season starting tonight edition, but it might be the vegetable edition, the Halloween edition. I don't know where we're going to go with this. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good, Maddie. We have a lot of things to get to with the Raptors, and we will. We kind of ignore them through the preseason.
Yeah.
But everybody did.
Everyone did.
So we have to make up for lost time. Yeah. That said, though, we can either start with my commute over here, which dovetails into weed talk.
Yep.
Or we can get into my cleanse, which I'm now 3 days into.
Yep.
Or we can talk about your house, which looks like a Halloween party store exploded, and this is what's left.
We are going to start with your commute slash weed talk, then we'll get into Halloween, and eventually we'll get into your cleanse, which is, you know, a bi-monthly conversation around here, it's, you know, so we'll get to that. But how was your trip in?
It was slow. Yeah? It was really slow. And I was texting a friend of mine who works actually with the province on the weed file. She's an analyst. And
yep.
So she helped to prep all of these politicians, what to say, what the money could be like, all that stuff. So I text her. I said, I don't want to be that guy, but are things this slow because everybody's on weed today?
Yeah.
She's like, maybe. Maybe. So today's legalization day, which I still don't really fully understand.
Yeah. I mean, you can now buy it online through the government websites. Eventually in Ontario, all the pot dispensaries may be able to reopen, but they got to apply for a license. But if they continue their business now, basically then they won't be able to open later on. And there's going to be chaos because this is huge. For so long, you know, there was all the arguments, oh, legalize it. And now it's here. So there's going to be chaos because it is a big shift.
I'm of a few minds on this one.
Yeah.
And I don't smoke weed and I haven't for a long time. And I would.
I pass on grass.
I got no problem with it, Maddie.
Neither do
but
I.
But it doesn't do for me all the time what it seems to do for people who like it.
Yeah.
You know, half the time I get really anxious and jumpy, or at least this is the way I remember it. And I thought, I know exactly what happens with scotch.
Yeah.
General sense of well-being, then an inflated sense of well-being, and then a depressed sense of well-being.
And then you go to bed.
And then I go to bed, and that's my arc. But with weed, I just don't like the idea of tossing the dice on how's my brain going to react to this psychoactive chemical in my brain.
Yeah, that's fair. And I'm the same way. I've never
never tried it, right?
I've never tried it, but it was never for morality reasons. When I was in university, I used to roll joints for my cousin and her friends. And they would laugh because I would bumble around with it. I'd eventually get it. But
I can't imagine you being a very tight roll.
It was not a very tight roll. And I always said, whenever we're together, I had to always be offered because it'd be rude not to. And then I'd be, no, I'm fine. Thank you. And I guess just in high school, my friends and I, it was just a lot of Madden football and playing football outside. And I didn't even really start drinking much until after 25. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
I did not drink a
all
lot.
All of this started after 25?
Yeah. Yeah, making up for lost time
like us and the Raptors later?
Yeah, exactly. So I was never a big drinker, but I've never cared about weed. I've never did for morality. I treat it like Brussels sprouts. It's out there. Knock yourself out. It's just something not for me. And also, there would be hypocrisy as I'm sitting last night drinking this beautiful bottle of Margaux, not Chateau Margaux, the second wine of Chateau de Giscours, La Soline de Giscours, excuse me. It would have been hypocritical of me. Bob, by the way, is staring daggers. You can't see it.
I think it's funny that you butchered that name, but you still sound classy because
yeah.
You butchered it in French.
I bet butchered in French. You're right. If I'm drinking this, and part of the reason why you drink is to get a little bit altered. If I'm like, oh, marijuana, legal, whatever will happen. Glug, glug, glug. So yeah. Hey,
and to that point, if I pop a couple Advils because I got a stiff neck, but I wouldn't advocate some CBD or somebody smoking weed. Like all the one thing I will say, and this is why I'm of a few minds on this, is I don't like the way we discuss it as a completely harmless drug, because that's not entirely true, and specifically for kids.
Yes.
Like, kids smoke a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked by how much weed kids smoke.
Really?
Well, because I was a teenager and I used to smoke it. And I know, but the idea of the people who smoked it all the time, it was a smaller group. But now it seems like everybody smokes it all the time. Like it's across all social and like it's just everywhere.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Do you think it's overcompensating? It's not... Like, do you think the reason why people say there's nothing wrong with it is because for so long it was demonized?
Yes.
So now everyone's overcompensating and they're slamming back.
100%. Because it's almost like, see, this proves that all the stuff that we talked about before was just nonsense. And it probably was, except for this.
Yeah.
It's really not good for developing kids' brains.
Yeah.
And so I don't like the idea that we talk about it as a harmless thing to do. Maybe if you're 40 and you want to roll up a joint at the end of a long day, like the way you might have a couple glasses of wine, sure, that sounds pretty harmless.
La Solindesque. I screwed it up again. Ugh.
You're like my streetcar on the way over here, the 501. a little slow, but trying. Yeah. We'll get through it.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing is I just wish that weed advocates would say, look, like it's not entirely safe for everybody. Like, and I've had bad experiences on it, and I don't smoke it now largely because, you know, with my history of mental ill health, like it's not good for me to be doing psychotropic drugs.
Yeah.
You know, I crave sobriety. You know, that's my thing. But my point is simply, I'm all for it as long as we don't pretend that it is a drug that has no consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I would say to that.
You know, that's perfectly said. And, you know, there's going to be mistakes. And what's happening now would be so different a couple months from now. Just you introduce this huge thing. And, yeah, there's going to be some massive hiccups. But I hope it works out. I hope this experiment works out because it makes sense.
I'm just loving watching Doug Ford twist himself into ribbons over this because he's a former hash dealer who now has to be the law and order candidate.
Do we have to say alleged?
I don't think he's ever denied it.
Yeah.
Has he ever denied it?
I don't know. I think if we ask him now.
Don't you know people who bought off him?
Yeah. Well, I know people that off the Ford clan. Yes. In Etobicoke.
Everybody knows people who bought off Doug Ford.
Yeah.
So he's a former dealer who now is like, I know about all the things we're doing with this legalization. And he's blaming Justin Trudeau so he can be on the side of the conservatives, right? For maintaining the black market that he himself contributed to.
Yeah. There.
The law and order candidate who is the hash dealer.
Yeah. There might be some hypocrisy and all there, but.
But all right. So anyway, that's my weed talk. And just for God's sakes, please, if you write news copy, stop with the puns.
Stop with the puns. And the same thing, TV producers, whether it's CBC, CTV, CP24, whoever, if you're writing the copy for the anchors or the anchors who are writing their own lead-ins, again, stop with the puns. We do not need, just like I'm tired of tigers on the prowl at the Masters. Stop it. Same thing. It's high times in Toronto. Stop it with the puns. So I fully
only
agree
you can stop bad punning.
Only you. Exactly. Smokey the Bear said that. Smokey Toronto weed. All right. Before we get to the Raptors.
Are you sure? I was listening to a bunch of sports pods.
Yeah.
You know, some of them in prep for the Raptors season because I've been a bit behind.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about ourselves off the top.
Yeah.
Like, we just did about, 7 minutes on weed and just goofing around?
Yeah, but it's not just about us. This is huge news.
Yeah, I understand. No, I get that.
News.
But before we start talking about your apartment here, don't we owe it to people to sort of talk about things they care about?
Or maybe they care about my apartment. Maybe they care about weed.
Well, no, are you going to have 19,000 people stuffed into your apartment tonight playing Cleveland?
God, I hope not. All right. No, we'll get back to it.
Save it.
Okay, we'll save it.
Because you and I have a debate.
We have a debate. Let's get to it right now because it actually goes to the dovetails to my biggest point. Like, I got thoughts on Nick Nurse, OG Anunoby, and Lowry and all that. But you threw out on Twitter, the over-under for the Raptors is 58.5.
Mm-hmm.
And you took the under.
I did take the under.
And it makes sense because 59 wins is a lot.
It's a lot of wins.
It's a lot of wins.
And it would mean that they were equal to what they were last year.
Yes.
Which is obviously why I picked it. It's a symbolic number.
Yeah.
Is this Raptors team better or worse than last year's? Or at least as good? That was really what the question was.
Yeah. Well, they're better. This is a better.
Maybe.
This is a better team.
On paper.
Yeah. Well, you get Kawhi. Yeah. Now, if Kawhi leaves or if there's, you know, problems and they trade him out and it's not working, then woohoo, I hope you bet the under.
Okay, do you want me to explain my under?
Go.
Or do you want to
Go. You go the under and
my basic reason is this, that I think Kawhi, because he had a soft tissue issue, right? And that's it's easy to re-injure that. Yep. I think they're going to be careful with him. And I don't know that there's a guarantee he's going to play more than 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
There's just too many question marks to say, hey, yep, this is a 59-win team. Now, if he comes back and he's a top five player in the NBA, well, of course.
Yeah.
But there's enough question marks around that that you could doubt,
yes,
whether that's going to happen.
Yep, absolutely.
And I do think they'll probably rest him a little bit because I bet they'll never admit it because tickets are so expensive. But they don't care about the regular season.
No.
They just want home court for at least the first round.
Mm-hmm.
After that, they're fine. So I don't know that you're going to have this mad press to try and blast through the regular season. Last year, it felt like, especially towards the end of the year.
Yeah, they wanted to get to 60.
They wanted
60. To round up. Yeah. They wanted the even Steven number. Yeah.
They were pushing pretty hard on the pedal. And I don't think they're going to do that this year. So the second night of back-to-backs, you could see minutes dropping.
Yeah.
That's even if they're healthy. So I think principally just because it's not going to be a cultural goal for them to get there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do the smart things that veteran teams do.
Yep.
Protecting players coming off of injuries.
Yep, absolutely. And all
that's my biggest reason for saying they're probably under. It could cost them 2 or 3 wins over the course of a season.
And that is the foundation you would use for that argument. And it makes sense. Kawhi hasn't played in the NBA in a meaningful game since January 13th. You want to baby him along. Same thing with Kyle Lowry. And it is more about the postseason. That's all the arguments for it. Here's the counter, because I was thinking about it. This year is so important to win because winning is the number one way you can woo Kawhi to stay. So if you have that high 50s, early 60s season, that is a way to try to convince Kawhi, stay here, look what's going on. Also beyond that, you want to try to get home court throughout because if you can get to the finals, that in and of itself is the number one way you're going to convince Kawhi Leonard, don't go to LA, don't go anywhere else. The culture is here. Look how close we got.
And you would prefer not to face Boston in the conference finals if they have home court.
Exactly.
That's a real thing because the Boston Garden is a tough, TD Garden.
Yeah.
It's a tough Boston place to play.
Come on, we're fine.
I know, yeah. TD Garden. Yeah. It's like calling it, you know, Rogers Center.
I don't even know what's the
ACC called now?
I don't know.
Is it the Scotiabank Center?
It's something like that. I think it is Scotia, but I'm not 100% sure.
It's to me, it's just the ACC. I've not stopped calling it the ACC for one moment.
If you told me it was the Royal Bank Center, I believe you.
Sure.
100% I believe you. So I think there might be within the top levels of the organization, guys, we got to win. We've actually got to go old school and try to win games. Not Tom Thibodeau level of push guys way beyond, but we got to try to win every night.
Can we take a quick sidebar here?
Sure, sure.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Loving it or hating it?
Here's what, and Bill Simmons brought this up, and it's so true. Jimmy Butler originally wanted to go to the Knicks, the Nets, or I think the Clippers.
Yeah, it was the Clippers, the third team.
And then he says he wants to win. Get out of here.
Well, he wants to win in a big market.
He wants to win. Yeah, but you're not going to win on those teams.
Nobody says, I want to get to the Knicks so I can win.
Yeah. No, no, no.
As long as James Dolan's there, I like my odds.
Oh, God. But by the way, if Kevin Durant eventually goes to the Knicks and wins a title with the Knicks, all my Kevin Durant hate, all is forgiven.
Right, because you like the Knicks.
I do like the Knicks.
You like the Knicks.
Oh, yeah.
They're a leftover from before when the Raptors existed.
Yeah.
I feel that way about the 76ers. Mm-hmm. I can't hate the Sixers because they were kind of my team when I was growing up.
Yeah, before the Raptors.
It's a Dr. J thing.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, by the way, on the Knicks. And if Butler and Durant suddenly show up there and they've got Porzingis.
Oh my God.
That's an awfully good team.
That team could win it all.
Okay, back to the Raptors.
Because
we're going to break this up topic by topic. And really what we're having here is the how much do we trust Kawhi conversation.
That is part of it. So why also I think they can get past 58.5 wins. If there's one guy that really, if Kawhi's healthy, the other guy you really have to worry about resting is Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Well, the drop off, you've got Fred VanVleet. You've got DeLon Wright. And DeLon Wright, they decided not to go for an extension, so he's got a little bit more to play with. He's got a little bit more incentive. So at the point guard position, the drop-off, and there will be one, it's not as significant. And it means you can give Kyle Lowry more time, throw in all the young guys with that extra year. Siakam and OG Anunoby are obviously the two biggest ones, and both those guys could take a bit of a leap. And 59 wins? Yeah, I can see it happening.
All right, so let's take this in order because you threw a bunch of things out there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Kawhi and Lowry then, mm-hmm. because they need to have chemistry.
Yes.
Last year, this was a backcourt-driven team, mm-hmm. and Lowry and DeRozan combined for 40 points a game and almost 13 assists.
Yeah.
So everything basically flowed through them. Mm-hmm. Are we sure? I mean, I think this is the case, but we're assuming that Leonard and Lowry can pick up where those two left off because they had a definite chemistry. We believe they can do that?
Yeah, I believe they can do it. A, because Kyle Lowry is really smart. And you hear that.
Very smart ball player.
Yeah, during the 60 or whatever minutes that both of them were on the floor together in the preseason. Might not have even been that much. I think Kawhi only played 68 total minutes, which is fine. Lowry was always looking for him first.
Yeah.
Just to try to, okay, I've got to work in these new sneakers. So he probably did it more than what he would normally do.
You know, it's an interesting thing, and this shocked me when I saw it, but I looked up Kawhi Leonard's career assist totals.
Yeah.
You know what he averages in terms of career assists?
No.
2.3 a game.
Hmm.
You'd think a player that good would be a better passer.
Yeah.
He's projected on basketballreference.com just based on the team that he's on now and all of his career history at 3.6 assists a game.
Yeah.
And this is a ball movement offense. Like they want to try to make it more up-tempo and kick the ball around. But Kawhi's not really a passer, which is interesting because like curious, like none of us know the answer to this, but can Nick Nurse do for Kawhi Leonard what he did for DeMar DeRozan, which is take a guy who doesn't like to pass and turn him into a passer?
Here's my one pushback, and I don't have an answer for this.
We don't have answers for any of this. This is all speculation.
No, Bob, I have lots of answers out there.
Good to know.
I'll get to it at the hour and minute mark of this podcast.
Right, okay.
the low assist totals for Kawhi, and there's somewhere you could find this, one of those Synergy, NBA Synergy sites. They track all player movement. How often was Kawhi responsible for the pass that led to the assist?
Like the hockey assist. That's a good question.
That's what I wonder about because, you know, the offenses that he was in San Antonio. Because Kawhi was never a ball hog.
Nope.
He was never, you know, he was not a black hole. He was not, you know, that sort of player.
No, because DeMar, the reason he didn't have a lot of assists is because as soon as he got the ball, it was DeMar time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
for a lot of years.
Yeah, so I that's my only thing I wonder about. But back to the question, I think Kawhi and Lowry, I think they're both really smart guys. It'll probably bump you off the start because how can it not be? But thankfully, I have to take a look at the schedule. Hopefully, they got a lot of them cushy Eastern teams.
I agree with you. I threw it out there only because it is a question.
Yeah.
But I think it's one we all feel pretty good that these two players are going to coexist.
Yeah.
And Lowry hasn't played great. Nobody really played great during the preseason. Nobody cares.
No one cares.
It's amazing how much we obsess over the Leaf season. Like every shift, we're doing like tape breakdowns on shifts of Marley's during the Leaf season. But we're barely watching Kawhi Leonard's box score.
Oh, no. Once we heard he was healthy and he was on the floor and he scored a basket, it was like, all right, that's it. It's like, I've used this analogy before, so I'll bring it up one other time. I always found this funny. Adam Carolla talking about, I forget which this is going to sound so bad, member of a boy band who finally came out and said, yes, I am gay. And he did it like on the cover of Time magazines. Like,
wasn't it Lance Bass?
Lance Bass, that's who it was. And everyone before was wondering, is he gay? Is he gay? You know, just like the whispers or TMZ. And the moment he came out, you know what everyone did?
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Moving on. No one cares.
Right. That's actually a good analogy.
And it's the same thing. Kawhi, can he play? What does he sound like? Okay, that's what he sounds like. Ooh, that laugh scares me. Okay, can he play? He can play. Great. Moving on.
I have an analogy. It's better than one I'm sure you would have come up with, but it's probably not better than Adam Carolla's given the field of competition we
he's
have
good.
Here. He's good.
Yeah.
It's a hurdles race with one hurdle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He cleared the one hurdle.
He cleared the
He's
hurdle.
He's healthy. Okay, great.
All right.
Now just run. Do your thing. You're done.
Moving on. Oh, yeah. So, it does amaze me. I threw this out there yesterday on Twitter, is that we're entering the most important season in the history and the most interesting and fascinating season in the history of the Raptors. It's this year because the Raptors, if someone said to you, Bob, I've gone into the future and sorry, I can't tell you who won that game so you get a bet on it, but the Raptors won 60 games and got to the NBA Finals. Would you believe it?
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would believe
okay. that. Okay. Now, the same person comes to me and say, Bob, it didn't work out. Kawhi was a little bit hurt. He didn't want to be here. The Raptors traded him. The Raptors won 29 games. Would you believe that?
Less, but sure.
But it's something
it's
that...
It's conceivable.
It's conceivable.
So you're talking about a 31-win swing.
Swing. That's the Raptors this year. Like the Atlanta Hawks, their best case scenario is 34 wins. That's,
they were on fire and they got out of the 20s.
Yeah, that's their best case scenario. But their worst case...
They might lose nine, though. There is some...
Yeah,
there is some
but there's there. So many teams. You know their best and worst case scenario, you can sort of... The peak in the valley isn't that great. For the Raptors, it is the nearly the highest of highs. Ain't no one beating Golden State. Or it could be they're going for a lottery pick.
Yeah, that's a really good point. When you put it that way, and I think we all know this, I would put the stakes even higher in the sense that if it happens that they're bad,
yeah,
then it will change the organization forever.
Yes.
It will change. There's a whole generation of fans that are ready to become insane Raptors fans.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get over that hump.
Yeah.
You got to make it to the final. You know, you saw it's like the Jays in the 80s. You know, like the 85, and it was exciting. And then there was the heartbreak against the KC Royals. And then the final, 87, the destruction against the Tigers, which still hurts to this day.
I know.
89, they claw their way back, right? Mm-hmm. You're there. Not the same as 92.
Nope.
Not the same as 92. 92 and 93 created history for that organization.
Yep.
Something that will never go away and put its stamp on the city forever.
Mm-hmm.
I love 85. But I don't think of it in the same context as 92.
I think 85, I think of the cover of the Toronto Star, and it said Blue Days after the Royals came back.
Oh, God.
I remember that. My first
Jim Sundberg, triple, off the wall, Jesse Barfield watching it bounce. I was at my girlfriend's place, Julie McGovern, my first girlfriend. And and when the game was done, I was a 16-year-old boy who said, I'm just going home.
Yeah.
That's how sad I was.
Yeah. No,
I'm just going home.
I was the same way. I was like 10 or whatever and just... Yeah, sad. Like, it was my first real sports sad. Actually, no, it was. That
would have been 15. Sorry, 15.
Yeah, was my first sports sad.
And you know what? Like most heartbreaks, you never forget your first.
Nope.
God, that was crushing.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing about the organizational turning point this is so they can either go back to being a shit show, where we talk again about how players don't want to play here and it's the long, slow trudge back.
Yeah.
Because this has been a long time getting to this point. Or... all of a sudden, we're in the winner's circle. Even if we just make the final, like nobody can talk about this organization as a sad sack organization.
Oh, yeah.
Not certainly in the near future.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Wouldn't that be great?
Of course. The best case scenario is NBA Finals and Kawhi resigns.
Ah.
Max money, max years. That's the best case scenario.
I have the tingles just thinking about it.
The worst case scenario is it doesn't work. You trade him. You rest Lowry for the whole year, and you try to get a top eight draft pick.
Right, and you hope that RJ Barrett somehow magically falls to you in the lottery.
Think of that swing. That is the stakes, okay? Like, the Leafs stakes, the worst case scenario for the Maple Leafs is they lose in the first round of the playoffs. The best case is they win the Stanley Cup.
Matt, the other day, the Patriots were playing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And on the same day, the Sox were playing the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just say, God, to be a Boston sports fan must be so fun.
Like, yeah.
You know, great team and the Patriots playing the up-and-comers. And then, of course, you're in the playoffs in baseball. Can you imagine a scenario, what it would be like in this city, if the Raptors look great and the Leafs are killing it at the same time?
Like, we had moments of it last year, but it...
Moments. But the Leafs dropped off too fast.
Yeah,
and then the Raptors dropped off quickly. But what if we're talking about both teams that are both conference teams, finalists?
It would be insane.
Insane!
Yeah. Oh, it would... Yeah, I can't even use the correct words. Absolutely. So that's why... But getting back to the original thing is the season starts today and it crept up on us. And what it's weird is it's the most important, interesting, fascinating Raptors season ever. And it crept up on us.
It really did. And that's largely because it was in the shadow of the Leafs.
It was.
You know, Austin Matthews had 10 goals in 6 games. I mean, what are you going to do?
No, I know.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, of course. Right.
We're so excited about the Leafs. We're not even obsessed about Nylander.
I know.
Nylander's in Sweden, and everyone's like, I have to figure it out, or they'll trade him. Don't worry about
it. You heard the recent news?
No, what happened?
Lance Hornby broke the story that Dubas and whatever representatives, they're meeting it in Switzerland. They're meeting with Nylander's camp in
Switzerland.
That's
not a story. This is like, we've covered enough lockouts to know, like, they're sitting down and meeting.
But they're actually talking.
Yes, so what?
But they're actually person to person.
Wake me up when September's over. No, I don't want to know. Well, don't fall into the trap.
It's October 17th. Get your head out of your ass. It's no longer September. I know you're quoting a song. No, they're meeting. This is news.
Are you going to hijack the Raptors preview to talk about Nylander? Or are you going to do the most Toronto thing ever? start talking about the Leafs in the middle of the Raptors preview.
Do you want to hear my thoughts on Nick Nurse?
Well, I think that's the next spot to go to. Another reason why I think they won't hit 59 wins.
All right.
I have a question for you. And I was reading, I think it was probably from The Athletic, talking about Nick Nurse. And it says he has not settled on starting lineup. He hopes to use as many different starting lineups, even from half to half, to take advantage of his team's versatility and get away from the superstitious notion that a lineup should not be changed following a win. So then I try to boil it down to one simple thing. Is the biggest difference, and I know there are many, but is the biggest difference between Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse is Dwayne Casey is structure and Nick Nurse is improvisation?
Sure, I think that's one way to look at it. Dwayne Casey definitely liked the things he liked.
Yep.
Right. And that's not so rare with coaches. Mm-hmm. He got tabbed old school. I don't know if that's necessarily fair.
Nope.
But Nick Nurse definitely seems to represent the new vanguard that's willing to try anything.
Which, by the way, do you know the irony of that is?
No.
He's the oldest first-time head coach since David Blatt in 2014.
Is that true? He's 51.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Oldest first-time head coach in the NBA since 2014. So though he's old, he's now new guy. You know what he's like? He's like the guy who just got divorced and, you know, he's now doing MMA training and got a sports car.
Yeah, his clothes are looking better. Yeah. He went to a salon to get his hair cut, first choice.
He's wearing aggressive t-shirts that he probably shouldn't be wearing.
Like tap out. T-shirts of affliction with a big cross made out of swords on it.
Yeah.
It seems to me like we've just decided Nick Nurse is a great coach.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how that happened. Like, here's a guy who's never been a head coach.
Never been a head coach.
You know, there's a lot of people around the league who respect him.
Yeah.
And the stuff he did with Dwayne Casey obviously was successful.
But
this is the biggest year in Raptors history. And they got a brand new coach and all kinds of new players and all kinds of new dynamics and goals and this and that.
Yep.
And everybody's just decided he's the right guy for the job.
That's true.
How'd that happen? Yeah. Like, when it was Mike Budenholzer. Remember when it was like, oh, they're talking to Budenholzer. Oh, I don't like the job he did in Atlanta. Yeah. I don't know about that. It's like, here's a guy who won 60 games in Atlanta. And everyone was like, I don't know if he's the right guy to replace Dwayne Casey. I don't know. Let's just pick a guy who's never done this before and say, yeah, he's the guy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point. I think it's because Nurse got a lot of credit for the transformation of the Raptors offense last year. The assists, the threes, all that sort of stuff. And so then they're like, okay, well, he did that. He must be good. But you're right.
How hard is it now to look progressive, too? Because I'm hearing like, oh, he's going to want a lot of threes and then shots in and around the rim.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
Like everybody. The reason that they had maybe what was called a more old-fashioned offense at times mm-hmm. is because their best player was a mid-range jump shooter.
Yeah.
And they built it around their best player.
Yeah.
And you know who else would do that? Mm. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. Dwayne Casey got labeled an old-school thinker, but he was working with the roster he had.
You know what he needs?
No.
You know what Dwayne
Casey... Andre Drummond to learn how to shoot free throws?
You know what Dwayne Casey needed?
Hmm.
He needed cool guy glasses. You know, like Joe Madden. Like, because if you get like cool guy hipster glasses, everyone just assumes, oh, you must be really progressive.
Or just dye his hair because he had a little bit of salt inside the pepper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to look young like Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens could go out there and run four corners a la Kansas in 1955. And people will call him progressive because he's under 40.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I mean, ageism is one of the last things you're allowed to rip on. How many times do you hear, oh, it's just a bunch of old men. It's just a bunch of old people. Old is now an insult, which always amazes me when young people do it. Because guess what, young people? If things go right, you'll eventually be old. So, you know, everything goes right. That's the best case scenario for y'all.
I don't know what to make of what Nick Nurse is going to do because I don't know what Nick Nurse is going to do.
Yeah.
I'd like to believe he didn't show us all of it in the five games of preseason.
Yep.
Right? There's probably something coming. You know, the idea of being flexible with your lineups, all right.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, players have also been conditioned their whole lives to see things certain ways. Why does anyone care about the starting lineup?
It's pride.
Right? How many times have you and I said on this pod and on the radio show before this, who the first 5 minutes of the game are inconsequential? It's the closing lineup that matters.
Yep. Yeah. The final 5 minutes is what's important. The first five doesn't matter. Like, Valanciunas gets to start. Valanciunas is rarely in the final 5 minutes.
And to that point, what probably sealed DeMar DeRozan's fate symbolically was the fact the only game they really, really, really pushed Cleveland. I guess game one they did, obviously. But in that game three, he wasn't on the floor.
Nope.
He wasn't on the floor for most of the end of the fourth quarter.
And not the first time in his playoff career where he has been benched for a fourth quarter.
You know, think about another guy who's a uber superstar in the league. The coach would ever say, you're not going to see the floor in a must-win game in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'd say Carmelo, but he's no longer, he's older.
And when he was great, and he also never really had those high stake games.
No, he didn't.
How many playoff games did that guy play?
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
Any? He must have had some early.
Denver made a mini run, I believe, before he was traded away. But nothing.
So I'm assuming Nick Nurse is smart because everybody says he's smart.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that.
Yep.
But can he do a great job? Mm-hmm. Because to win 59 games, you have to do a great job.
Yeah.
Also, the fluidity of it. Like, what does that mean for the second unit? Because the one thing that was great about the Raptors last year was that second unit had a chance to gel, and they got something special going. And it really was about those guys, that bench mob. Mm-hmm. And if you start monkeying around with that, and you know, okay, we're going to stick this guy in the starting lineup, and then we're going to see, you know, CJ Miles is going to be in the starting lineup.
It ruins identity.
100%. And they seem to build off that identity. I know that sounds symbolic, but athletes are people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes this stuff permeates their brains, as it would for any of us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the bench mob. They had a better defensive rating than the Celtics did last year. They had a 99.1 defensive rating. That's incredible.
That is.
It's unbelievable. You know, so if you're going to start playing around with lineups, you're playing around with the second unit, too. And I don't know how much the Raptors want to do that.
Analytics, statistics, all of that is incredibly important. But as you just said a second ago, they're humans. You have to keep that in mind. And sometimes that identity helps. It's like you are more productive at your job if you have if you feel good about the company you're working for. And you feel part of your identity is the company, and that makes you feel good. You'll just work harder. You know, and you could take any other numbers out of it. But if you feel like a connection with it, you're probably going to try just a little harder.
This is a nerd question. You ready for this one?
Yep.
More likely to be the sixth man of the year, Fred VanVleet or Pascal Siakam?
I think it would be Fred VanVleet because I think he'd put up more numbers. Sometimes with Siakam, a lot of the stuff he does doesn't really register. And when it comes to six man, we're going to look at the counting statistics first.
The Jamal Crawford Award.
The Jamal Crawford
Award. Like how many points can you score off the bench?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Or the Mo Williams Award. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Yep.
At what point, if the Raptors are sub 500, do you start to care? Which month do they have to be over 500 for you to start to think this isn't working?
Mid-November. I'm going to give it a month only because it's a 59-win team. And most of the guys are back. The new guys, Jeff Green and Kawhi Leonard. Especially Kawhi Leonard, pretty good.
Danny Green.
Yeah, Danny Green. What did I say?
Jeff Green.
Jeff Green, yeah.
I like Danny Green.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a team that's built to win now. You didn't trade away DeMar DeRozan for a rebuild. There's a short leash.
So let's call it a month.
Yeah.
They got 1 month to look good. 1 month.
It's October 17th, game one, by, you know, a little bit after Remembrance Day. You better be over 500.
Such a fascinating season, because to your point, there's so much riding on it. And think about how, even at the end of the first three games, so you got Cleveland tonight, that feels like it should be a win at home.
Yeah.
Then you've got Boston on Friday, and then back-to-back against Washington on the road.
Yeah.
They could easily be 1-2 after those games. They could be 3-0. They could be 2-1. I honestly don't know how to project.
Yeah.
The season is too early. The guys are still trying to figure out their chemistry. But if they lose to Boston and Washington, I don't know how ready we are to go down this road. You know what I mean? Like the appetite for failure is pretty low with this team.
Yes.
Feels like they have to start fast or they're going to become boring quickly to a lot of casual fans.
Oh, yeah. 100%. One number I'll throw out at you. And actually this
is it Jeff Pollock's phone number?
It's not. No, not doing that yet, but I'll do that in a second. Ooh, actually, that would have been good. Too late. Onwards and upwards. And this would be a good argument for under.
I got to eat my peppers. So I'm hoping I'm starving and I need some baby carrots.
In one moment. 35-2 against sub 500 teams.
Right.
24 and 21 against teams that were 500 or better. That's one that makes me nervous. How much of the Raptors' success was just about them outworking crappy teams versus being truly special?
It's an old cliche, but good teams beat the bad teams. Great teams beat the good ones.
Yeah. And listen, 24 and 21, it's not a bad percentage against teams 500 or over, but at the same time,
they had a hard time defending the good teams,
yeah,
though.
They did. And the Raptors, wow, did they fatten up on the bad teams last year.
I will say this. I think that number will change, or it has a good chance to change, because of the defensive structure of this team. Like,
yeah,
they have a lineup of death, but it's actually a lineup of defensive death. I was thinking about calling it the Sarlacc pit.
Ooh.
Because you go in and you never come out. You just get compressed and crushed.
Yep.
You've got Lowry, great defender.
Yep.
Leonard, great defender. Green, OG Anunoby, and Serge Ibaka.
And Pascal Siakam.
He could be really good in that too. Although I think they like Obi playing off of Anunoby. I think they like OG playing off of Ibaka. I bet you we'll see a lot of that early. But that lineup, that's a boa constrictor of a lineup. They are going to squeeze the air out of a lot of teams.
Yeah, it's like mid-90s Bulls, you know, when they did that same thing with Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan, and then just whoever they threw out there.
Yeah, that team was always underrated for its defense just because they were so talented. All right, can I have my pepper now?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of underrated, you know what underrated is? In fact, no, the other way. Overrated. Wait, it's not. It's some rated. Damn it, I've screwed this up. Here's the thing. If you've ever gone to a law firm for the first time, you're probably confused. You don't know what you're supposed to do. And it is very unnerving because the law is something that, you know, can overwhelm. Well, that's why you've got to use our lawyer. Our lawyer is Jeff Pollock, and he should be your lawyer. And the best thing that he does is he makes you feel comfortable. He makes you feel relaxed and very confident in whatever it is. For me, it was putting together my will, my last will and testament, though I'll never need it because I'm never going to die. But no matter what, if it's litigation, states, trusts, corporate, commercial, real estate law, Jeff Pollock and his small law firm, they've got you covered. They've got you covered in the way that you feel like you're part of a big fancy law firm, but it's not. And he will make you feel more than just like a human, but like a friend, like a colleague, and someone that you can trust. I can't recommend enough. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. Phone number 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. And again, shout out to Jeff, his wife, Yenya, who deals with all things accounting, and their three kids, Daniel, Elizabeth, and Sasha. See, it feels like a family law firm. I know his whole family. Bob's still chewing. Seat Giant. Ho, ho, ho. This is our new Canadian partner on... Actually, new. It's not new. It's our Canadian partner on the show. Concert tickets, sporting events, anything and everything in North America. You go to seatgiant.ca for all your tickets. And why do you go there? Because if you go there, you'll save a little bit of money at checkout. Use the discount code Bob and Matt. And if you do that, you'll get a bit of percentage back on your tickets. We get a bit of the money as well, which is great. It's win-win. You save money. We get a bit of cash, which is key because doing the podcast is not free. And again, critical with SeatGiant, unlike all the other ticket agents, you get the price and you're like, hooray, but it's in American money. Oh, I got fooled again. Now I've got to pay $18 more for this ticket. Damn you, as you shake your fist up into the heavens. Well, with SeatGiant, everything is in Canadian dollars. And again, SeatGiant, owned and operated right out of Canada. They guarantee every ticket to be legitimate. They stand behind the customer experience. Once again, that is seatgiant.ca. And I'll give you a little bit of a running tally. Bob, his lunch was a Ziploc bag of carrots and yellow peppers. And the problem is, because he's on another cleanse, is yellow peppers, they're not quiet. We actually had to delay the start of this podcast by about a minute because he was chew, chew, chewing. And it was loud, loud, loud.
Someone told me once, hi, I'm back. Someone told me once that according to the Buddha, you need to chew food 8 times on each side of your mouth.
That's insane. Okay, I get it. And actually, that's good because you'll eat less food. But Buddha's insane. I bet he ate on his own. Imagine you're at a family gathering and everyone is chewing 8 sides on each side of their cheek. A, that's loud. And B, at some point, you're just going to start stabbing each other with butter knives.
When I was a kid, this probably doesn't surprise you, but I was known for eating quickly.
Yeah.
And you've seen me eat, Matt.
Yes, I have.
I eat very quickly.
Yes, you do.
Very quickly.
Yep.
And it's largely, I think, because I trick my stomach into not knowing it's full yet because it hasn't had time to think.
Yeah.
It's sort of like Trump's, you know, the way Trump throws a lot of news at people.
Yeah.
Right? And you just get confused and you can't even remember what you were angry at.
Wait a minute. He's lying about the Russia thing. What's going on with Stormy? Wait, did he say horse face? Wait, what? He said that about John McCain? And then swirling. Oh, he's hanging out in North Korea. What were you talking about again?
Exactly. Well, that's how I eat.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to slow it down. There was a word that my grandparents had for me because I grew up in their house and I would wake up every morning, go down the steps and have a pound of bacon and coffee with my grandparents.
Yeah.
Like when I was Charlotte's age, like 8 years old.
Nice.
Yeah. And they would call me the Zhlompa. I don't really know what that means.
Doesn't sound good.
But I think it means just like I think it was a word they made up because it was the sound of gulping.
Yeah. The what was it again?
The Zhlompa.
You know, the Zhlompa.
And I was chugging coffee.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is so European. Like, I'm like 9 years old and I'm pounding back a double-double.
The Zhlompa. That's never a term used.
I hope
like
it's not a bad word because it might be. I don't know.
Apologies.
If it is, I apologize.
I apologize as well. I just think that would never be a term used for, like, say, a lean swimmer. The Zhlompa. You know?
Well, it reminds me of the word jaba. Now, that word I do know, and that means frog. Mm-hmm. So there may have been some frog-like elements to this.
Yeah.
You know, the swallowing of the fly and such.
Yep.
All right. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
About the Raptors.
Yep.
We haven't really done X's and O's. It's hard to do X's and O's because...
Season starts tonight against Cleveland.
Starts tonight. Do you still love this team?
I don't know yet. Like, I'm excited for it, like, as we've talked about. I guess with DeRozan gone, like the identity has changed. It's not going to, put it this way, it's not going to take long for me to love them again. I think it's just the relationship. We had our rocky moments with that sweep against Cleveland, and what happened in the final 8 minutes in game one against the Cavs was so utterly sickening and predictable to watch that, you know, it's like, I know I'm not going to get divorced, but we just went on a separate vacation. You know, we're going through a rocky period. It's not really a trial separation, but at the very least, we're not on the best of terms.
This has been talked about a lot, but it's amazing that that's your answer. And I feel something like that.
Yeah.
But they just added Kawhi Leonard.
I know.
For 20 years, we've said, can you imagine if this team had a bona fide top five player? Mm-hmm. I don't know that he is a top five player. We'll see with his health.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's healthy if he's a top five
player. Healthy is a top five player.
Yeah, I made a list.
Yeah.
And it's Durant, LeBron, not in order. Yeah. Durant, LeBron, Curry, Davis, Giannis, and Harden.
Okay.
I would all put ahead of Kawhi.
When he was healthy, which was 2 years ago, 25.5 points per game, first team all NBA, finished third in the MVP voting, finals MVP, back-to-back defensive player of the year, and one of the few guys beyond J.J. Barea, who's actually given LeBron James fits in the NBA finals.
Yep. Obviously a great player, but
I have him ahead of Harden. We're
at the rise of Giannis. I think we slept on Anthony Davis a little bit. Mm-hmm. Harden has continued to...
Harden's part of it's a product of the system. I put Kawhi ahead of James Harden.
Yeah, I might put Harden. I did initially put him ahead of James Harden. It's just that he's literally the best one-on-one player in the game. Like, he is literally unstoppable. I would probably put Kawhi. That to me is a bit of a toss-up, but even then, that's top six. We're splitting hairs here.
We are.
My point is, we've added this great player.
Yeah.
There should be no question how we feel. But there is.
It is. It's
we've lost Dwayne Casey. We've lost DeMar DeRozan.
And of course,
Jakob Poeltl, who's not crying tears over that.
Let me tell you, I poured a half bottle of Gruner Veltliner out for that Austrian majesty.
That's one of your best jokes in a while.
Yeah, getting a Gruner joke in. It is weird. That was my answer. It's weird because like I could have lied and go, yeah, I'm still loving them just as much as ever.
But you told the truth.
But there was something holding back. Now, because of the fickle nature, ask me by the next pod, and especially if they beat Boston, you know, I think they'll beat Cleveland tonight. And then if they beat Boston and Kawhi is great and then Kyle Lowry's doing his thing and OG Anunoby's taking that leap, like, you know, from what he did from the regular season, the postseason, if he can then carry that, then it's different. But yeah, there is something holding me back.
It feels like I don't think that Dwayne Casey was a perfect coach. I think he was a very good coach, and I think he did a lot of really good things. Yeah. I don't know if Nick Nurse is a better coach. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
I do know this, that he is a defensive-minded coach who won an NBA title by applying defensive principles to the Dallas Mavericks that stymied the Miami Heat in the final and was generally considered, if not a defensive genius, certainly a defensive mind.
Yes.
And he got to the Raptors and never had a squad that could do the stuff he wanted to do.
Nope.
You know, you had JV in the middle. Your best player was DeMar DeRozan, who required a lot of minutes and is a sieve on defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lowry is a good defender.
Yep.
But, you know, like the lineups that Dwayne Casey trotted out there were not defense first minded. And now you have one that is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember talking to him, actually. I ran into him at a concert, of all things.
And really?
So, yeah, you too. I was talking to him at the U2 concert. I'm not name dropping here. I guess I am a little.
You are kind of.
Yeah, I guess I can a little. Okay. No, it was just a very casual setting. You know, so, hey, coach, how's it going? We wound up chatting. And this was before OG even played a game. And he's like, you're going to love this kid. Like, you could just see it was legit. He brought it up. Like, he loved OG Anunoby. Said, this kid's going to be an amazing defender one day. He's long. He's fast. He's a bulldog on the ball. And he's got the mindset for it. So I feel kind of sad that we never saw what Dwayne Casey could have done with these kids.
Yeah.
With these guys defensively.
Yep.
Because he finally has a Dwayne Casey kind of team.
Yeah.
Like, someone that is going to lock you down and, like, put the foot right on your throat and not let you up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, the DeMar thing is just heartbreaking.
You
can't get around it.
I'm going to be rooting for him so hard.
So hard.
I'm going to be looking at the box score every night.
I was going to ask you, did you become a San Antonio fan now?
Yeah.
They're an easy franchise to like.
Well, I'm still angry because Greg Popovich, we tried to get him on the show and we said we're only going to talk wine because he owns part of a winery.
Right.
He still wouldn't do it. They're like, no, no.
You're mad at him for that? You're mad that he didn't want to do Toronto Sports Radio from San Antonio, Texas?
Yeah, when you put it like that. But I will be checking the box score every Spurs game. Absolutely.
I'm a Lakers guy now because LeBron's there.
Mm-hmm.
And because I kind of am spending more time in L.A. these days.
Uh-huh. You got a Dodgers hat on.
I got a Dodgers hat on.
Bandwagon.
Go Dodgers. No, that's not true.
I'm a Laker fan.
That's a bandwagon.
That's bad. Not the Dodgers. No.
No, I hated the Lakers for years.
Yeah.
But I figure if I'm going to have to spend more time in L.A., then I'm going to have to learn to like their teams.
Why don't you be a hipster? Root for the Clippers.
I can't do it.
Yeah, it's hard.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I deserve better?
By the way, do you know what's really easy? Rooting for whatever team LeBron's on.
I know.
That is so easy.
It's so easy. So, well, eventually he'll slow down.
And then you know, guys, I really think that LeBron is the best big man passer in the history of the game. Oh, wow. Who came up with that one? So easy.
Brandon Ingram's an interesting player.
Hey, listen, all interesting because everyone gets better if you play with LeBron.
It's true.
Unless you're J.R. Smith.
Yeah. Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Everybody's ready to write him off.
Listen, that's going to be really exciting.
Really exciting. So, okay. But anyway, my point is, how do you not root for San Antonio, though?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lakers easily were going to be my Western Conference team. Mm-hmm. And then they traded DeMar to the West.
Yeah.
Now I got to like the Spurs, too.
Yeah. So, one final thought on OG Anunoby.
Are we almost out of time?
Yeah, we're near done, Bob. We got to
really?
Talk about this house. We have about 10 minutes. We've got 10 minutes left.
Okay.
OG Anunoby, 56% from three in the playoffs. Shot 45% in the playoffs. So, which all big jumps from his regular season numbers. And he feels like that guy that can take the next step. Also for the Raptors, fourth in three-pointers made, but 18th in three-point percentage. If you don't have to be, you know, Golden State, but if you can bump that up to, say, 12th, that would be fantastic.
That's a good point. It made me think while you were talking about how every year there's that player where you go, are they going to take the jump?
Yeah.
Is this the year we see the best version of them?
Yeah.
In the past, you know, this year it's DeLon Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he going to be?
Yeah.
Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby. These are who we're talking about. You know who we don't talk about?
Mm.
Norm.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about Norm. Are we ready to write Norm off?
Norm, enjoy the commercials where you're playing piano.
They're fun.
They're fun.
They're fun.
Yeah,
he's lovable.
Prove us wrong, Norm. Prove us wrong.
Second round draft pick. Wouldn't it be great if he turned into something?
Yeah.
Especially with the money that he's being paid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Good for you, Norm.
All right. So let's talk about your place.
Yeah.
Do you want to set the scene or shall I?
You set the scene.
So I walk in, and it's Halloween everywhere, but it's mostly Halloween at Matt's place. Every room of his condo has at least... Should I just do a quick count?
Sure.
Let's just do a quick count. So I'm going to stand in the middle of Matt's first floor here, open space here, and I'm going to count all the Halloween things that I see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48,
all right, 49,
50. I actually rounded off to an even 51.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt.
Yeah.
Your place isn't like it's nice, but it's not that like you don't live in a mansion. You know, you're not at Drake's place.
No, I'm not.
So how did you manage to get 51 Halloween accoutrements into this space without saying I'm a serial killer? Oh, 52. I missed that one.
You missed that one there. Well, they're all in the storage locker in boxes. Mm-hmm. And you know, I do all my stuff during midday when there's no one around.
53.
Yeah.
54.
There you go. Yeah, there's the eyeball mask.
Yeah.
It is everything in storage. Before Amy moved in, my storage locker was gloriously empty, which again is not what a storage locker is supposed to be. It's supposed to be full, but I'm a weirdo. I like seeing closets empty. So it was all down there, and it's like a little mini haunted house here.
It's like Casa Loma.
Yeah, it's like Casa Loma. It's
except
great.
They charge admission to Casa Loma.
They
once
do.
Again, you could charge admission to this place.
Yeah, well, our condo board
this place
angry.
Is a cry for help, Matt. This place is a cry for help.
Now, Amy and
I was decorating
sister,
our place with my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter yesterday. We got about 10 or 12 things up. She's like, that's enough.
Yeah.
So how is it that the House of Adults did 4 times? Oh, wait. How did I miss that? 55.
All right.
56, 57.
All right. Bob County. That's great pod. What would Cece, what would she say if she came here?
She would say, what's wrong with you people?
She would not. She would love it. She would laugh and she would love it.
She probably would.
Yeah, I think
She probably would. I find it ironic, though, that you guys are like staunchly anti-kid.
Mm-hmm. We're not anti-kid, just, you know, we're not going to have one today.
58, 59, 60.
Amy loves it. Her and her twin sister decorated it. I think it's great.
Oh,
it's
61.
Fun. It's
festive. Now, does the black rose count?
What's that?
Does the black rose in the jar count?
Yeah.
I think it does. Yeah, so 62.
Oh, we're just bad horticulturalists.
Is there stuff upstairs?
A couple. Go by like 7 or 8 more. Right. None in my bedroom. Some in the other bedroom. But you know what the funny thing is?
All of it.
Amy actually.
Oh, wait. How did I miss that? 63.
Right. Amy actually complained.
64.
Amy
65.
Actually complained 66. That there's not enough.
Well, tell her that Bob counted 66 Halloween items.
Yeah.
In 2 rooms.
Yeah.
66.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I'm at Guillermo del Toro's house.
Oh, how good would that be?
So good.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed in The Shape of Water. I wanted to love it. I liked it. Maybe I need to see it a few more times.
See it a few more times. I think I liked it more than the average person. But Amy said there wasn't enough. I disagree.
Halloween stuff.
Halloween
stuff. Well, where else could you possibly put anything?
I have no idea.
Seriously, in the toaster?
Maybe.
In the oven? Spooky English muffins.
Yeah.
What makes them English muffins? They're not muffins.
They're
not even close to being muffins.
It's a British thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got something called spotted dick pudding.
Yeah.
Remember when I was over there and I saw that? Boy, I bought that right away.
Well,
I got to bring this box
home.
Listen,
the British love to do that. Bangers and mash, Toad in a Hole. They love novelty names for their food.
I think Toad in a Hole is a double entendre.
What's that?
Toad in a Hole should not be a double entendre.
Not unless you're doing it right, Bob.
Gosh. Final thought here for me.
Yeah.
Do you get squirrels up here? Because I noticed that you have pumpkins on the back deck.
No, we don't get squirrels.
Because you're 11 stories up, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome because we can't put a pumpkin out for, you know, my daughter and I were strategizing yesterday. We were thinking we might even cut the pumpkin day of.
Oh, no.
Well, because squirrels eat them.
Yeah.
But you don't have that problem. You could leave that. Oh, wait, there's one in there. So that's 67.
Yeah. There's another inch.
There's actually like inside the pumpkins, there's actually Halloween.
It's a Halloween turducken. It's really what it is.
It's like a jelly donut of terror.
Yeah. All right. We got about a minute left. What's going on with what's your diet right now?
Oh, you know, it's the usual. It's the usual deprivation diet.
Yeah.
You know, I was living pretty good for a while, and I got to shut her down.
Yep.
Yep. And I find the only way. Oh, how did I miss that?
Well, what 68? Is that, Bob?
Like, I missed like the guy Jolly Roger here, like an enormous standing.
You missed the pirate skeleton?
How did I miss the pirate skeleton?
Oh my God.
If we had an Instagram feed, I would take a picture of this.
You know the most annoying thing about that pirate skeleton is? When I'm sitting on the couch and I'm trying to like turn the volume up or down, the stupid head of that pirate skeleton is right in the spot where I'm trying to turn the volume up or down. It's annoying.
Well, Matt, I would say move it, but where?
Where, exactly. Move it next to the giant spider or some of the zombies.
All right, so we'll talk Leafs next time.
Yep.
We talked only Raptors. I felt good about that. Did you feel good about that?
Felt great. We haven't done Raptors in ages. They deserve the hour.
God, how are you going to watch tonight?
I'm going to just probably sit here on my own and snarkily tweet while watching the game.
How did I miss this? 69.
Yeah, high five. That's when two people orally stimulate each other. Simultaneously.
It's hard to believe we had more sex puns in our pod than weed puns.
All right, everybody.
All right. Well, since we can't get any worse, we might as well stop.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.